Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text 7. That was up there. Okay. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakriter natmano guna natesham yugapad rajan rasha ulascha evava sattvam rajas tama iti prakriter natmano guna Natesham Yugapad Rajan Rasha Ulasha Evava Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakriter Natmano Guna Natesham Yugapad Rajan Rasha Ulasha Evava Ladies. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Raja, the mode of passion. Tama, the mode of ignorance. Iti, thus. Prakriti, of material nature. Na, not. Atmana, of the spirit soul. Guna, qualities. Na, not. Tesham, of them. Yugapat, simultaneously. Rajan, O king. Rasha, diminution. Ulasa, prominence. Eva, certainly. Va, or. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Parikit, the material qualities, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna, all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. Purport. The original position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of equality. There is no question of his being influenced by sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun, for these material qualities cannot touch the Supreme Lord. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Ishvara, Ishvara Paramakrishna. He is the Supreme Controller. He controls the material qualities. Daivihyesha gunamayi mamamaya dirachaya. Maya jakshena prakrite suyate. Material nature, prakriti, works under his order. How then can he be under the qualities of prakriti? Krishna is never influenced by material qualities. Therefore, there's no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Govudavani Pacharine Nevishesha Sanyavadi Pastachayade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pabuna Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadar Shri Vasari Govuda Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna is never partial. It might appear like he's partial sometimes, just like a judge might appear to be partial. You know, a judge is sitting in the court and all these different people are coming and somebody, he's hearing the case and he says, okay, I sentence you to 20 years in prison, or I sentence you to life in prison, or I sentence you to be hanged, or something like that. Somebody else comes along and, you know, the lawyer goes blah, 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 like that. And he says, okay, I award you $1 million in damages. You know, and somebody might think, oh, wait, this judge is partial. You know, this guy got such a heavy thing and, you know, all these people were, and this guy, other guy came along and he must have liked his face or something like that and he awarded him $1 million. So this judge is partial. No, it's superficially, to the uneducated observer, it might appear like that. Oh, this judge is partial, you know. But no, the judge is just, he's just acting according to a system, you know. He's just acting in an official capacity. There are certain, like, principles that he's abiding by. There's, you know, laws, there's rules and regulations. And if a person does X, Y, Z, then he just goes, okay. You know, he doesn't have to go. He knows. He's a judge. By that time, he knows the law books. And he knows, okay, when somebody does this, this is what is the consequence. When somebody does that, well, that's the consequence. And if somebody does that, that's the consequence. And he just dishes it out. You see? And it might appear, once again, to the uneducated observer that, oh, this guy is really partial. Look, he's being so nice to this one, he's being so mean to this one. But no, you know, he's just doing his job, basically. He's just, you know, executing. And, yeah, so in this way, he's completely impartial. So that's the position of Krishna. Actually, there's a Prabhupada in the next purport to the next verse, one little section. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities, but he is impartial. He supervises victory or loss, but he does not take part in them. In other words, like the living entities, the conditioned souls, they're interacting with a system. And according to how they interact with the system, then they get a result. You see? But it appears as if because they, you know, different living entities, different conditioned souls are getting different results. Maybe somebody might think, oh, well, the person who's in charge of this system is partial. But no, that's not the case. Once again, just referring back to that analogy of the judge. The judge is just executing the law. He's not actually partial. And of course, but this is within the domain. We're talking now within the domain of the material energy, you know. Basically, who are the people who are having to deal with the legal system are criminals. You see, so the criminals, they're dealing with the, you know, the legalistic aspect of the government, right? But you know, those people who are law-abiding citizens, they're also dealing to a certain extent in their lives with the legalistic aspect, the justice department, so to speak. That's also there in their lives. But you know, mostly because they are law-abiding citizens, there's very little, you know, interaction with them with that system. Mostly they're dealing with other aspects of the, interfacing with other aspects of the government or the, you know, the kingdom or whatever the case may be. So it's like that with Krishna too. You see? If you're a non-devotee, you know, for the non-devotees, you're dealing with that, you know, justice department of Krishna, right? And justice means you get what you deserve. That's justice. That's the definition of justice. You get what you deserve. You see? So that's what's happening. That's what's happening. The conditioned souls, they're getting what they deserve. If you're acting in the mode of ignorance, you get reactions in the mode of ignorance. If you act in the mode of passion, you get reactions in the mode of passion. If you act in the mode of goodness, you get reactions in the mode of goodness. This is just the way it works. Justice Department. It's like a machine. You know, it's like you're dealing with a machine, you know. You do a certain thing, you get a certain reaction. It's like that. So that's for the non-devotees. Now, when a living entity decides to, you know, try to do a little something different with his life, you know, and try to, you know, live in, rather than try to be an outlaw, you know, or somebody living in defiance or in rebellion to the will of Krishna or the, you know, the supreme control, but rather to try to live in submission or in compliance, you know, compliance, voluntary compliance with the will of Krishna. I have a far out experience with that once. If you heard this story, pardon me, I'll try to tell it quickly again. I was going for a walk. I used to go for a walk every morning, a Japa walk. And there's one place in the walk where I had to cross a little bit of traffic. It's on La Cienega and Rodeo. So, you know, it's like two lanes, like that. It was Sunday morning, so the light was against me. I had a red light, and I looked around. I was on my way back. I looked around, and I didn't see any cars, so I thought, what the heck? I just started walking out, you know, starting to cross the street. I had the red light in front of me, though. So I'm walking out, and I'm about halfway across, and I hear like, beep, beep, and a voice, hey, come on over, like that. And I look around, it's a cop car. I go, damn, I'm going to get a ticket now for jaywalking. I go, oh, no, you know, I don't have any ID with me, nothing like that, you know, because, I mean, there I was, walking right across the red light. And so the officer in the car was about my age. You know, he looked like he was late 50s, early 60s, like that. And, you know, he definitely didn't look like, you know, the new cop on the beat. And he was in a nice, kind of like a newer kind of police car. Anyway, so he has me come over to the side, and he goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, you know, he was nice. I could immediately sense his mood was kind of friendly. So he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I looked, I saw the light. I did see the light, but I looked around and I didn't see any, I didn't see anybody coming. I just saw that it was clear. So I just decided I'd go across. He said, well, I was coming, you know, I mean, he came up right from behind me, you know, and I didn't see him at all. He said, I was coming. And I said, oh, yeah. So what could I say? I didn't have a leg to stand on, as the expression goes, so I just went, yeah. He said, and he looked at me and said, hey, look. He didn't say, hey, look. He looked at me and said, voluntary compliance. That's all he said. He said, voluntary compliance. And I went, and he just went, okay? And I said, yeah. And he just kind of drove off, you know, and I just stood there for a second. I got out of the street. And I said, wow, that was far out. He just gave me a whole Bhagavatam class. That was like it was coming from the super soul, really. Because if you stop and think about that, that's deep. He really, you know, basically he was making the point to me. It was like he was saying in so many words, okay, look, I'm a grown man. You're a grown man. I guess, you know, you're dressed in that robe. Say it's something religious or spiritual. You're intelligent. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you're an intelligent fella. This is how our whole society works on the principle of voluntary compliance. Unless people are willing to be in voluntary compliance, you can't have a society. You know, studies have been done that if all the people, you know, the majority of the population in the United States just decided, thank you, to be, to become lawbreakers, there'd be no question they couldn't have a police force big enough to control everybody. It really does work on the principle that the vast majority of the people are basically, you know, what would you say, law-abiding or honest and prepared to, you know, live according to different rules and regulations set coming down from a higher authority. It all works on that principle. So he's making that point to me, voluntary compliance. And so, you know, that was there. And I immediately thought of, well, it's an analogy. You know, I immediately saw it in a bigger context that actually the whole principle of, you know, life is based on this, you know, it's all based on that principle, voluntary compliance. You know, we're here in this material world, the living entities, we're here in this material world because we were not willing to be in voluntary compliance. And once, when a living entity is willing to be in voluntary compliance, you're out, you're free. Back home, back to Godhead. You know, that's the price tag. Just that we actually really genuinely make that decision. Okay, I'm prepared to live in voluntary compliance to the will of Krishna. And when we really, you know, decide that, then okay. Krishna goes, okay, no, I've got no further issues. You know, I've got no further issues. Okay, back home, back to Godhead. So anyway, so when we make that decision that, you know, the living entity kind of understands that and decides, okay, let me try to live in voluntary compliance with the will of Krishna, you know, try to become a devotee, then it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different ball game. And there's a whole different set of, you know, guidelines and principles that living entity will be relating to Krishna according to, you know, completely different from the set of guidelines and principles that the person who walks into the courtroom will be relating to the judge. You know, getting back to that judge analogy, he's, you know, he's when he's acting this in his official capacity, he's relating to all the people who come before him in the courtroom as, what would you call it, not necessarily convicts, but whatever they are called, people are coming before him for, you know, some decision in a case. He's relating to them according to one set of guidelines and one set of principles. But when he's out of the courtroom and he's out on the golf course or he's at home with his family or whatever, you know, he's operating according to a whole different set of guidelines and principles. So Krishna's the same. You know, when we're outlaws, when we're trying to, you know, enjoy life according to our own plans, our own whims, then Krishna's going to relate to us in one way. And when we're willing to try to become devotees, you know, the in-laws, so to speak, you know, then Krishna's ready to deal with us in a completely, entirely different way. As I said, it's a whole new ball game. And basically what happens is that you get a whole new lease on life. We're all familiar with that expression. So stop and think about that for a second. What does that mean to get a new lease on life? Because that's what happens when you become a devotee. You get a new lease on life. Well, I looked it up in I Googled it, basically. So it came up with a couple definitions. New lease on life, to improve something so that it works better or looks better. To give somebody new prospects of hope, enthusiasm, optimism, enabling them to overcome feelings of the opposite. So that's what happens. When you decide to become a devotee of Krishna, you get a new lease on life. You really do. At least that's what I experienced. You know, when I made a decision to become a devotee, it's like all of a sudden, like, whoa. You know, what seemed like a really hopeless situation, now all of a sudden you could see, as the expression goes, once again, light at the end of the tunnel. Well, light at the beginning of the tunnel, for that matter. So all of a sudden it was light. You know, things are looking up. And, that's because, once again, you're dealing with, as I think I said this right, justice means that you get what you deserve, and mercy means that you're getting something better than what you deserve. I didn't say that part. I said the justice part. Justice means you get what you deserve. But then there's justice and then there's mercy. You see? Mercy is when you're getting something better than what you deserve. And that's Krishna consciousness. See? When you decide to become a devotee of Krishna, you're moving out of the justice department into the mercy department. You know, we've all heard about the justice department in the United States, but you know, you don't hear much about the mercy department. There isn't one, unfortunately, in the United States of America or most countries around the world. But Krishna's got a mercy department, you see. And when you decide to become a devotee, you start moving into that mercy department. And things are different. You know, you get a better deal than what you deserve. And that's what happens. That's what, you know, with the expression, you get a new lease on life. Things start looking hopeful. You start feeling, you know, encouraged and about prospects in life and optimistic. You know, whereas previously you're just feeling just the opposite. And for many of us, and once again speaking for myself, I know I felt like becoming a devotee is another expression, living on borrowed time. You've heard that one, living on borrowed time. You get a new lease on life. It's like, you know, okay, we're going to change this lease so that, you know, really, according to this lease, you don't have this payment. Well, your car is going to be repossessed. That's what's supposed to happen now. Because, you know, according to this contract here, you're supposed to pay such and such amount of money at such and such a time. You're not able to do it, so sorry about this. But, you know, but a new lease means they tweak it. They work it out a little bit, and they go, okay, you get an extension here. You just have to, okay, you've missed this payment, but anyway, you got 6 months, and then you have to do this, and if you could follow that, then you're okay. It's a new lease. In other words, you get like an extension. So borrow time is basically get some borrow time. Definition of that one is a period of time during which the inevitable consequences of a situation are postponed or avoided. So once again, that's what happens when you become a devotee. You're like living on borrow time. And once again, if the shoe fits, wear it. You can also include yourself as part of this category. But I know I felt like that was the case with me. I mean, I know that, once again, a lot of us, maybe we might not be walking around. If it wasn't for Krishna consciousness, who knows where we'd be? I mean, you might not even be alive. Or if you were alive, you might not be walking around on the streets as a free citizen, you know, just doing what you want to do. So you get a new lease on life, and you're living on borrowed time. This is, two aspects of the mercy of Krishna. And to state a little bit more philosophically, karmani nidrahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, that when somebody, from the Brahma Samhita, when somebody becomes a devotee, Krishna, he can adjust their karma. You know, that part of a verse is stating exactly that you might have been destined, Prabhupada would give this example, you might have been destined to get your head chopped off or something like that, or your arm, cut off, but instead you just get a little scratch and you get cut. You see, Krishna minimizes your karma when you try to become a devotee. Basically what Krishna does, Krishna just takes everything and adjusts it in such a way as to help you, to give you the opportunity to make some progress, he tries to work with you to help you fulfill your desire to become a devotee. Once again, as I said, if we reflect, I think if each one of us reflects on our own lives, since trying to become a devotee, you can come up with examples of your own, from your own experience of how you could sort of feel. It's subjective, but, it's validity to it. How you can, it feels like that Krishna was really helping me here, helping me there, help me with this, help me with that. I know that, once again, I have like experiences like that myself, how Krishna did different things just to sort of help me kind of just do what I had to do to become a devotee, stay a devotee, and, progress, if that's what I'm doing, I hope, as a devotee. And, that's how it works. And Krishna's working like that with all the devotees because, I think it's in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Samoham savabhuteshu name dvaistos dinapriya ye bhajante tumam bhakcha mayite teshu chapiham. He says, I'm equal to everyone. I'm equal to everyone. Samaham savabhuteshu. I'm equal to all living entities. I don't envy anyone. I'm not partial to anyone like that. But he says, but ye bhajante tumam bhakcha. But one who engages in devotional service, mayite teshu chapiham, is a friend, is in me, and I'm a friend to him. So that's how, once again, same idea, same point, but that's the shastric reference for it. Krishna has a special way of relating to people who are trying to become his devotees. They get preferential treatment. Once again, as I said, your file has been moved from the Justice Department into the Mercy Department. So it's special handling like that. And as long as you from our part, it stays good like that as long as we keep our end of the contract. It's like, once again, with that new lease thing, lease is like a contract. So as long as we keep our side of the contract, everything's okay. Our side of the contract simply means, to keep our side of the contract simply means that we, basically, in general, that we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And specifically, the basic ones of chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles. I've heard, I didn't come up with this example myself, but another class I've heard it compared to like the protective ring that Lakshman drew around Sita. Everybody knows that story in the Ramayana, where Ram had to go out to the forest and Lakshman and Sita went with him. And then Ravana wanted to abduct Sita. So at first as part of his plan, he got one of his thugs, or I don't know how you refer to Marucha, to cry out like he, to make, to make his, disguise his voice so that he sounded like Ram. And, what happened was they were there in the forest. So Sita saw this beautiful deer. And she was so attracted, she wanted the deer. So she, asked Ram, can you get the deer? And he goes, no, don't worry. Ram immediately knew what it was. And I think he even said to her, it's just Maricha. It's just this demon disguised as a deer. Don't pay any attention to it, it's a trick of some sort. And she insisted. She was, so he said, oh, all right, okay. So he decided, okay, I'll go get the deer. But before he left, he gave instructions to Lakshman. Okay, whatever you do, don't leave Sita. Stay here with her. Because Ram could, he could feel something was fishy was going on, So he went off. And and sure enough, after he's away some time, they hear the cry out, Lakshman, Sita, and Ram's voice. So Sita's going, oh no, that's Ram. He's calling out. He needs some help. And she's saying to Lakshman, you have to go, you have to go. And so Lakshman's saying, no, I can't go. Ram gave me specific instructions. I have to stay here and protect you. So she, back and forth. And she kind of presented some arguments that were kind of, he felt a little bit like, well, okay, he had to do it. And basically what she suggested that the reason why you want to stay here and you're not prepared to go out for Ram's rescue is because you want to be my partner like that. So that was kind of like more than he could. That was a low blow, He kind of felt very, made him feel bad. So he decided, okay, look, I'll go. I'll disobey the instruction of Ram. But so what he did was, he drew this circle around her and he said, you stay within this circle and no harm can come to you. But if you go outside that circle, then, there's no protection. So anyway, probably everybody knows the story. Ravana came and he kind of tricked her to come out of the circle and he grabbed her and that's how he was able to abduct her. So in the same way, Prabhupada's given us this, or the Acharyas, this protective ring, protective circle, which is his instructions, his instructions. In general, and in particular, the chanting of 16 rounds, following the four good principles, coming to the program. This is our protective circle. As long as we stay within this protective circle, then we're okay. The material energy is not going to be able to take us out, so to speak. Like Ravana was able to just take Sita right out there when she, stuck herself outside that protective circle. But if we don't stay within that protective circle, then we're fair game for Maya. And, Prabhupada said on different occasions, when you stop following the instructions of the spiritual master, you give up that protection, and then puna musika bhava, I'm not going to tell that story. If you don't know it, you'll have to catch it on the homework. But it means again become a mouse, again become a mouse. So that's what happens. But if we follow, if we stick with it, then we come under the, we're always under the protection of Krishna. Krishna says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that is that verse, how's it go? Kunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. I can't remember the other part. What's the first part? Shipram bhavati dharmatma sachva shantim nagachati. Yeah, kunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna says, tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. That doesn't mean he doesn't, give up his body and leave the material world and everything like that. That means his devotional service can't be destroyed. His devotional service is protected. Krishna guarantees that. Krishna assures that. He promises that. So that's, that's what happens. And a great example of that is Draupadi. Draupadi's a wonderful example of that. Everybody, probably remember that story as well. She was, the Pandavas were challenged to a gambling match. How am I doing for time there? Okay. The Pandavas were challenged to a gambling match, and the Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas are not allowed to, they have to take up a challenge like that, gambling and fighting. So this was gambling, and they said, okay, let's do it. So they sat down, they started gambling, and Shakuni was with the Kauravas, and, he was a cheater, basically. He had different tricks. They were able to cheat the Pandava, so they kept losing. But maybe they won once, and they just kept losing and losing and losing. So finally they lost everything. They lost themselves. And then they lost Draupadi. I think that was the logic. Anyway, so then Karna, he had a like a grudge because he wasn't allowed to participate in our Swayambhara because they said he was a Sudra. He, at that time, he wasn't being recognized as a Kshatriya. Duryodhana gave him some land at some point, and then he became a Kshatriya eventually. But at that point, he was not recognized as a Kshatriya. So she said, "I'm not. You can't participate in this, because you're a Sudra." So he held that against her always. He felt like very insulted by that. So then he took this as an opportunity. Said, "Okay, well, these are slaves now, so they have no property. So let's have Draupadi come out and let's see what she looks like without her sari on. Without her clothes off." That's basically they wanted to just. Dishonor her, disgrace her like that. So the elders, which are like Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, they remained silent. And that was a big fault on their part. And then, of course, Duryodhana and some of the others, they were egging, they thought it was a great idea. So they had Dushasan go into her quarters and drag her out. And they started to, try to pull off a sari. So she was initially, she was trying to keep it on, and then she saw that wasn't working. She's just a woman, and Dushasan was not only a Kshatriya, but like a Maharati, very powerful Kshatriya. So she realized she couldn't keep it, on physically. She didn't have the physical strength to protect herself. So she just prayed to Krishna. She just put her hands up in the air. And I don't know if, I think she just... I think that if she did offer a prayer, I don't think it was Krishna, please, save me, keep my sari on. It was just like, okay, Krishna, now I surrender to you, just save me or protect me or kill me as you like. And she just basically surrendered to Krishna. Okay, Krishna, Hare, Hey Govinda. And Krishna couldn't understand her desire. She was a very elevated devotee. Krishna couldn't understand her desire that she didn't want to be, disgraced, dishonored, disrespected, etc. So Krishna reciprocated. He reciprocated by supplying endless sari. And they weren't able to, disrespect her in that assembly. And if they were to try something else, that wouldn't have worked. See? And it wasn't just that, okay, they didn't try hard enough. No. Krishna just went, okay. That's it. It's an example of Kunti Apratajanahi, Name Bhakta Pranashati. Krishna just decided, okay, she's my devotee. She surrendered to me in helplessness. And I'm going to protect her. And that's what happened. You see? And there was no power on earth that was going to be able to disrespect Draupadi in that assembly because she had Krishna backing her. She had Krishna on her side. Krishna decided that she is going to be protected. You see? So, in the same way, even like the great modern day example of that, of course, is Srila Prabhupada, who, had the backing of course, the whole, parampara, the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. And that's why, despite the fact that, Prabhupada had so many different things trying to take him out, so to speak, two heart attacks, a stroke, he had to deal with guys like Mr. Nair, who were trying to cheat us out of the land that he, was supposedly, offering us for sale in Bombay, deprogrammers kidnapping his disciples here in America, final decline in health, so many different things Prabhupada had to, deal with. But in his own personal Krishna consciousness, he was never, nothing was able to ever, none of those situations were ever able to, even in a teeny little way, interfere with Prabhupada's personal Krishna consciousness. And even beyond that, this is the analogy to Draupadi. Krishna could understand what was important to Draupadi, not the sari. It wasn't that Draupadi, was thinking, "Oh, I'm wearing this expensive, nice sari, Krishna, please. Don't let this guy grub it up with his grubby paws." And no, Krishna could understand. She wanted to, be protected, her honor, her to be protected like that. So Krishna did. So in the same way, that was what was important to her. So in the same way, Krishna could understand what's important to Srila Prabhupada. What's important to Srila Prabhupada, even more than his own health, even more than his own, life, is the Krishna conscious movement. That was, it was like his baby, his child. And, Prabhupada was more concerned about how the Krishna consciousness movement is doing than how he's doing, basically, And Krishna could understand that. And I think that's part of the reason why this movement is even here still today. Because we've had different things, that could have easily unraveled this movement. examples. What's for examples? Well, you know, back in, what was it, 85, 86, the whole thing when they, you know, that whole problem when all the devotees came together in New Vrindavan, and there was that whole big thing about the, you know, what was going to happen with the gurus, and there's a whole, that was a whole big problem. And there's been different things, you know, different attacks on the movement, things which easily could have dismantled this whole movement. But no, not able to. Why? Because Krishna's protecting this movement, because Krishna's reciprocating with Srila Prabhupada, post-mortem. You know, even Prabhupada's not here with us, you know, at least in his Vapu form. Still, because of his strong desire to have this Krishna conscious, to establish this Krishna conscious movement, and to have this Krishna conscious movement, you know, not just survive but flourish, Krishna is to this day is still reciprocating with that desire of Prabhupada, and that's why this movement cannot be destroyed. Prabhupada said this movement cannot be destroyed by external things. It only can be destroyed from within. It can't be destroyed from without. So once again, as long as the members of the Krishna conscious, Prabhupada specifically said the leaders when he was talking about this, but if the members of the Krishna conscious movement remain solid in their sadhana and, you know, their practice of Krishna consciousness, basically this movement can't be destroyed, right? So that's why, you know, somebody might look at this organization, you know, from the outside, they might think, how do these people do it? How do they keep this whole thing together? What do? You know, they get up in the morning, they go to a temple, they say some prayers, and they go out on the street maybe three times a week, and they're just singing in the street. And what do they do? How does that organization keep together? How does it, you know? They're mystified. But the simple explanation is because we're following what Prabhupada gave us. That's what Prabhupada told us to do. You know, try to be Krishna conscious by these specific activities, Harinam, Prasadam distribution, book distribution. And because we're doing that, you know, to some extent, we're doing it, and Prabhupada's pleased, and therefore, you know, the mercy's there. The mercy's there. So the answer to that question is, how does this organization set against? By Krishna's grace. So, anyway, what time is it? Okay, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Sorry, I didn't catch the question. I'm really not clear on what you're asking. I think maybe better that I could talk with you about that afterwards. Okay, I'll just talk to you afterwards, okay? And we could, you know, because I'm not clear on exactly what you're asking. Anybody else, anything? Okay. Kuntarot Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.